Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning and all those that can join us on Zoom. Glad you're with us this morning. In our society, we can't, it seems, go 10 seconds without having some sort of noise going on in the background. Have to be listening to a podcast or music or the radio while going down the road. Have to have the TV going while we're sitting down for a meal. I myself always have to have some sort of noise going on in the background whenever I'm going to sleep at night, so I just go to sleep easier that way. When I'm writing a paper or studying or whatever it might be, sometimes I like to have some classical music going on in the background, just to have something there. We live in an age where we can have access to any one of these types of noises in our own life with just the tap of our finger. We can do these things. And we can always do something new with that. This morning, I would like for us to consider meditation. What meditation is, what true meditation is, and how that is important to us as Christians, and how we can make that a habit in our own lives. So first of all, what is meditation? What is true meditation? Well, it is not an emptying of the mind or an exercise, as the world might put it. It's very much the opposite of that. We are called to fill our minds, not to empty it, not to empty our minds and just have nothingness. In Matthew chapter 12, we see this principle spelled out. Matthew chapter 12, in verse 43. Matthew 12 and verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. Instead of filling our minds with worldly wisdom and constant noise that's around us, we need to make room for God's word in our own lives, something that's valuable, something that carries meaning with it, and not something that is empty. And we need to do that to put something in place, not only to remove the bad, as we see here in Matthew chapter 12, but then to replace that with something good, something meaningful, something that is valuable. And so it's the idea, meditation is the idea that we have God's word, we've read it, we've thought about it, and now it's time to do it, to carry it out, to carry those principles out that we have read about, that we have now meditated about. James chapter 1 and verse 21 talks about the implanted word that is within us. We are to put God's word deep within us so that it may save our souls, as James goes on to say there. And this type of people that he talks about that are hearers only, these types of people delude themselves. We see the Pharisees having this attitude throughout the Gospels, having only a surface level understanding of the Bible and never truly applying themselves to God's principles, even coming up with their own principles in many cases and not adhering to God's word. And so just because we read the Bible on a daily basis, if you're on a Bible reading plan, that does not necessarily mean that's where you need to be as a Christian. And that's great that we've reached that goal of reading the Bible daily, right? But now there's a next step that we ought to take in that. And so meditation is when we look in the reflective word of God, we walk away, and we let it continue with us as we go throughout the day, each day of our lives. And so we need to look with intent and look with purpose and find meaningful thoughts in God's word, and don't look at it as just a chore. Is our attitude what is found in Malachi chapter 1? Oh, what a weariness. Is that our attitude? That ought not to be our attitude towards God's word or anything that he reveals there within. Meditation is the next step in gaining knowledge. And Bible reading is essential to this. I don't want to diminish that fact. Bible reading is obviously essential to this. Daily Bible readings, whatever program you might be going through, whether that's a Proverbs or Psalms or whatever your daily personal Bible reading looks like, there is then a next step, as we've already mentioned, that needs to take place. In Joshua chapter 1, let's turn over to Joshua chapter 1, we see a couple of key words that are mentioned here in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. It reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Day and night is repeated several times in Scripture, and oftentimes it is coupled with this idea of meditation, of getting into God's Word. Joshua was told that he needed to heed the words of God in order to guide the people in this next step in their journey. He needed to heed God's Word and let it penetrate himself as their leader, but then also communicate that to the people. And so, the word, we get into the word, it shall not depart if we meditate. And in meditating, we learn all. And if we learn all, then we make our ways prosperous. So if we want success, we go to God's word. That is where true success is found. Psalms, the book of Psalms, speak, all of these Psalms speak in great detail about making our ways prosperous through looking at God's Word. If we look at Psalm 1, the very first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1, this speaks of a man that has the right relationship with God that he ought to, and the right relationship to God and His words. Psalm chapter 1 in verse 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." So we see that phrase again, day and night. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The central aspect of this man in making his way prosper is the Word of God. That is how he finds success. I'll rattle off several other passages here. These are all going to be coming from Psalm 119. You don't have to turn there because I'll be going through these fairly quickly. Psalm 119 and verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." Verse 23, "Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes." Verse 27, "Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works." Verse 48, "My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Verse 78, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts." Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day." And then verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." And then finally, verse 148, "My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." These are just a few passages that we see where the Word of God is the central focus of one who is righteous, one who is seeking after God. Meditation on God's word day and night. We see that repeated throughout. And so true meditation, what does true meditation look like? Well, first of all, true meditation takes time. It takes time. Going back to Psalm chapter 1, in verses 2 and 3, again, we see these phrases day and night. So that implies consistency. That implies something that is going to be happening each and every single day. It's not just day and night, one day, right? And it mentions this tree. Trees grow over time, right? So we have to cultivate ourselves as we look into God's Word. This is not something that will happen quickly. Anyone who's ever been involved in any sort of workout plan, we can't expect to have immediate results in that first week or even that first month. This is going to take time if we're wanting to see results. We have to be consistent with that plan too, right? We have to do that each week, each day, whatever that plan looks like. And God's Word should not be used as just a reference piece of literature, right? So if we get out our phones, we have a query or we have a problem, we get out our phones to Google that, right? Or to YouTube that. And once we've gotten the solution that we need for that problem, we put our phone down until we have another query or we have another question. And that's not how God's Word is intended to be used as Christians. This is not a reference piece of literature. This is something that we ought to look into each and every single day to garner meaningful connections, deep and thoughtful considerations from God's Word. And so this form of true meditation, we are actually called to do each first day of the week. We have already done that this morning. That is an example of true meditation. To look at Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and what that means to us as Christians. And so this is not just a surface level thing. We don't just consider this and then move on. That is supposed to continue with us. We are supposed to think deeply about those things. We are also to dig deeper. So while there is a surface level teaching that we can garner from Scripture, this is often children will learn in Bible classes about the parting of the Red Sea, about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are basic lessons that we can find from these people in Scripture, right? But then there are deeper connections, deeper lessons that we find in Scripture. And so we develop that as we continue our walk as God's people throughout our lives. And at the same time, we don't need to be too overconfident in what we have learned. Commentaries, other forms of literature that are written by uninspired men, these are helpful tools in understanding God's Word better, but they are not supplements for God's Word. God's Word is it. It is truth. It is the only thing that can bring about salvation, that can bring about prosperous things in our lives and success. So we need to keep those things in mind as well. So we are not only to dig deeper, but we can grow larger as we look into God's Word and meditate upon it. And you might say to yourself, well, I'm just not a deep thinker. That's just not how my mind works. Well, can't we do better? Because God calls us to be better, right? If we just stay at surface level all our lives, we get comfortable with a certain stage where we're at in our lives, then eventually our roots, right, that tree that we're looking at, our roots will eventually shrivel up and we will die a slow spiritual death if we are not cultivating that relationship with God. Turn over to Psalm 119 again if you're not still there. Psalm 119. This again speaks of someone who truly has the type of relationship with God that he ought to because of his relationship to Scripture and to God's Word. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see your wondrous things from your wondrous law. This is the attitude of a man who understands God's word, but he wants to know more. He wants to grow more. He asks God, help me, help me, help me to understand in a deeper and more meaningful way. And we see that. He cares very deeply about God's word. And that is why he is wanting to grow even more from that. Can you imagine Jesus behaving the opposite of that? Saying, I don't want to learn more. The phrase, what would Jesus do, that I'm sure we've all heard in our lives, that only works if we know the character of Jesus, right? And Jesus was not one who was satisfied or pleased with just a surface level teaching, right? He rebuked the Pharisees many times for having that mindset of just having a base understanding of Scripture and not going any farther than that. And so we can put as much logic and as much reason into an argument that we can. But if we take it seriously, and if we take ourselves seriously, then we have to realize that we must change our mindset. That's what's described to us in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We are to put on that new man daily. We have put off the old man when we have committed ourselves to God, and we have committed ourselves to Christ as Christians, wearing that name Christian. Meditation is taking in a sermon or lesson, going home, meditating on those things even further throughout our day, throughout the week, by looking into that mirror that's described to us in James chapter 1, right? Looking into the perfect law of liberty and letting it transform us. Meditation is taking those songs that we sing every Sunday and looking at those lyrics deeply and how those impact us as Christians, as a whole, as a body. It's not coming to worship or Bible study or whatever gathering we're in, hearing those things, walking away, and leaving those exact teachings in the seat that we were sitting in as we leave. We need to carry those things with us wherever we go. And to that point, we need to let God's word transform us. Romans chapter 12 is a passage that I think we're all familiar with. Romans chapter 12. In verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is it that shapes who you are, that informs each step that you take in your life? If someone were to come in to your home and remove all access to God's word from your life, whether that be physical Bibles, whether that be the electronic Bibles that we now have, audio tools that we have, whatever it might be, all access to God is removed, would your daily routine look any different? Would anything change? If the answer is no, then there needs to be some serious considerations, some serious evaluation in your life, if that is the case. Would there be more of a hole in your life if any of these secular things, whatever your hobbies might be, if any of those are taken away? Or would there be more of a hole if God's word is taken away? I have various interests and hobbies that I'm interested in. We're approaching March Madness, right? We're in the thick of college basketball right now. That's one of my favorite times of year, is March Madness. I enjoy various recreational activities, whether that be games that are involved in sports, or whether that be board games, or whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, if I let any of those things fill up my life more so than God's word, God's principles, God's will, if I let those things consume who I am, and those are what identify who I am, then we are breaking our covenant with God. We are not giving Him priority. We are not giving Him our first fruits. And we're no better than the Israelites who broke that covenant time and time again because of selfish desires of the flesh, putting other things before God. So we've looked at what meditation is. How do we actually carry out meditation? I'd like to look in this final point, some practical ways in which we can perhaps implement meditation into our own lives. And again, I've already mentioned this, we need to start small. Hebrews chapter 5, 12 through 14 puts this principle into practice. We won't turn over there. We may want to start with the meat of Scripture, whether that be Revelation or Romans, any of those more difficult passages, we might say. But maybe you're not there yet. It's a hard reality sometimes to evaluate ourselves and where we are at in our spiritual walk as Christians. But once we can do that, that is so much more profitable, and we can gain so much more from Scripture when we actually look at what we're able to handle in that moment and then grow towards maybe those more difficult lessons and challenges in Scripture. Then we need to look for the meaning in the text. Call it to remembrance even when it's not in front of us. Start with one book, perhaps, and adopt that book. I've heard of many people doing this, adopting one book as your own and getting out each point from each chapter, reading it several times a week, several times a month, whatever that might look like, and identify key verses and the themes of that book, and then call it to remembrance. Make connections to Christ. This is vital in any book that you are in Scripture, because the entire Bible story is pointing to Christ. Romans chapter 15, in verse 4, whatever things were written, they were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God's word is even for us today, for us as Christians today. We also need not diminish the importance of having a quiet environment and a quiet mind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Our surroundings are definitively distracting. Perhaps sometimes, as I mentioned at the beginning, we think we need noise to focus better. I used to think this myself in high school. In order to get through my calculus homework, I thought that it would be a good idea to listen to a variety of different musical selections. And looking back on that now, I find that that was a horrible decision, because I don't think that I really comprehended anything, hardly, in that calculus class that I should have. Made good grades, but I didn't comprehend it, because my focus was on something else. I was using distractions to get through that thing that I needed to focus on. We need to give proper focus to what is most important. One thing that I've found particularly helpful, perhaps if you don't have time in a certain day to actually sit down and read God's Word, you rather listen to it, and that's a good thing to do. I've found that if I'm listening in my car, there's all these distractions around me, right? Listening in my car, and before I arrive to my destination, turning off the audio for a few minutes, either before I arrive to that destination or whether I'm in the parking lot or driveway when I arrive, turning that audio off and taking a few minutes to contemplate what I have just heard. And I find that this helps in remembrance. Instead of just letting it go into my mind and then leaving my mind, I actually take a few minutes to consider what I've just heard. And then that, I find, helps me remember that throughout the day even better. There is also importance in having a quiet mind. So having a quiet environment, but then having a quiet mind. So if we sit down to read or to listen, and our minds begin to wander, we are objectively distracted, and our minds are consumed with something else, right? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 tells us, wherever our treasure is, there our heart will be also. We may often want to get done with our daily Bible reading. That might take us 30 minutes, tops. We want to get done with that as quickly as possible so then we can move on to whatever that thing is that we are most looking forward to. That will reveal our true intentions and our true passions. We are told to dwell on good things. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We need to put more effort into God's Word and learning it, and less time towards those secular things. Not to eliminate those things entirely. Don't want to diminish that either. But give as much time, as much energy, as much passion towards God's Word that we do these other things in our lives. And set limits for ourselves on those secular things so that we can give time to God's Word, meaningful time. As kids, and if you've had kids, then I'm sure we know the phrase, 5 more minutes. Just give me 5 more minutes outside, 5 more minutes on this game, 5 more minutes, whatever that might be. Is that our attitude towards God's Word, towards meditation? Just 5 more minutes, thinking on those good things within Scripture that God has given to us. So how do we spend our time? Is our immediate response whenever we have free time to ourselves to reach for that little black box in our pocket? And to scroll and scroll and scroll? Or is it to just sit quietly and think about God? Think about those good things that He has done for us, those blessings. Think about Jesus Christ and those blessings that we receive through Him. God calls us to grow as Christians. We are to bear good fruit, as Matthew 7 tells us. And so, are you growing? Or are you dying? Those are our two options. That is what we are called to do. We are called to grow as Christians. I hope that these thoughts have been beneficial for you. I hope they will help you in your growth as Christians and in our relationship to God. This has not been a lesson that talks about what it takes to become a Christian or what it takes to reconcile with God if you are a Christian. But that invitation and that opportunity is before you this morning. And I hope that you will act on it if you need the help of the brethren here, if you need to be baptized, if you need to be reconciled to God, if you have perhaps lost that relationship with God that you began when you became a Christian. Whatever your need may be, won't you come as we stand and as we sing a song that's been selected.